Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
Ted, it's good to be back. It's good to see you, my man.
What up, Steve?
Oh, man. At first, I got scared. I didn't think our studios were working properly.
It was a struggle today.
But through the power of logging on and logging back off, or logging off and logging back on, the log is working.
Yeah.
Or whatever we're talking
about.
We're back in. It's a good log.
It's a lot of logins.
Yeah. Plenty of logs.
Yeah.
We're all about your logs here. Mm-hmm. We're your log leader, the Megacast.
Have some coffee, maybe a little nicotine, get that log out.
Get that log out.
Right. What are you doing? Getting the log out.
You're gonna be like, you know, like those shirts are like the evolution of something, you know, whatever it is. Like it'd be like looks like a gorilla and then it ends up being a guy playing the guitar.
Yeah.
Ours would be the evolution of a log. So it'd be like get the coffee, get the drink.
Right.
And then it ends with just this log coming out.
Just a guy sitting on the toilet.
I'm sure people would buy that.
Yeah.
Probably not. Hey, before we forget, because I'm awful at promoting our stuff and it's just right around the corner this Saturday.
All right, we got to talk about that,
yeah.
Steve.
Saturday virtual sports in Tukwila. Ted, myself, everybody from The Podcast, the dudes from The Mix. Same with The Mixcast.
MCTV will be there.
No Cobb?
No, he's still not in town.
Where the hell is Cobb?
He's been gone for months.
Is he ever coming back?
Yes.
I heard from him.
Oh, nice.
He out of the blue, but he commented on one of my Instagram pictures while I was in Hawaii telling me of something that's really cool to do there.
Excellent.
Which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, I forgot about Cobb. He's back.
No,
but
not
he's
yet.
Not.
No, so Matt and I will be there.
So basically the people who are not employed by the radio station will not be at our party because Glenn's got to do an event at an auction because he does sound as his actual job. So
yeah.
Glenn from the Mixcast won't be there. Cobb from the Podcast won't be there, but everybody else.
Right. So basically Steve, Ted, Matt, and Rev.
Yeah. We should have just called it the Steve, Ted, Matt, and Rev party.
Yeah. Well, I keep saying on my podcast, too, like, it's the Mixcast, it's the Podcast, and it's the Megacast. And it's like, why do I keep saying that? Obviously, if those two casts are there, Steve and I are there.
We should start saying the Mixcast and the Podcast will be there. The Megacast is not going to make it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Just Mixcast and the Podcast. No Megacast.
Because if the Megacast shows up, that means Terrible Ted and Miserable Migs are there. And nobody wants those two guys to show up to the party.
No.
No. So join us this Saturday at 3 p.m. We're going to be over at Virtual Sports in Tukwila. There's free laser tag. There's going to be free dodgeball and also free virtual reality gaming. It's going to be a good time from 3 to 5 and who knows how long after that. But come down, hang out. Even if you don't want to play any of the games, you can just post up at the bar and have a couple beers with us.
Yeah, and it's all ages.
Yep.
So even you got the kids, bring them on by, have some fun. You could sit out there and have a beer with us or
Make your kids go play laser tag while you crush a bunch of beers.
Yeah, and I mean, they got other games there too. This is for everybody.
That's right. That's how we do things. We do things for everybody.
Very inclusive.
Yes. Everybody is welcome.
Everybody is welcome here.
Except for Cobb and Glenn.
So, yeah, not you two.
No, you're uninvited. You're on the list.
The list of not getting in.
That's right.
The do not enter list.
It's good to see you, man. I'm fresh off of Hawaii. Hawaii was awesome. I learned a valuable lesson in Hawaii that my wife's view and opinion of a vacation is way different than mine. Still fun, but hers involves exercise, working out, eating healthy, and not drinking. Whereas my vacation is not doing a lick of working out, eating like a pig, and getting drunk.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're being a little dramatic. I bet you'd still sneak in one or two workouts.
I would, yeah.
But overall, I'm with you. I want frozen drinks, pool or beachside, eating dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, the frozen drinks is always my thing. I didn't have a single frozen drink. A, because I had the angel on my shoulder, that is my beautiful wife, saying, would you rather the frozen drink or would you rather eat some kind of awesome, delicious dessert?
Oh, come on. You're on vacation and you have to choose?
But she planted the seed, Ted.
Oh.
So I'm like, I'd much rather ice cream because ice cream trumps fruity drinks any day of the week. And then I looked at the menu at our hotel to see how much that fruity drink would be. For one pina colada, $17. Go F yourself. I'm not getting it.
Woo.
$17? You better bring me a thermos.
That's a lot, dude.
Right.
Yeah, that's one thing I've heard about Hawaii is it's wicked expensive.
It's so expensive. It's worth it. But as the trip, it's funny. Like when we first get there, guns are blazing, money's falling out of my pockets. Who gives an F? Like, oh, I'm going on a helicopter tour. Let's do it. Once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
By the end of the trip, like by that, we left on Wednesday. By like Monday evening, I'm like, do we really have to eat tonight?
I go scrounge up some brass offers.
Let's live off the grid. Let's be like we're like the Hawaiians that are in the Forbidden Island where we have to hunt and gather.
Yeah, honey, today's adventure is spearfishing, and then we're going to cook them on a rock.
But don't worry. I know you don't like that. You could just eat the coconut.
Right.
Vegan. We had a great time, dude. It was so much fun. It's just fun. Just not knowing what the plan is for the most part and starting every morning, I'm working out. But after we work out, then being like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's get in the car and let's just go explore. And
it was it's just got to be nice. I mean, this winter has been so crappy.
Yes.
Had to be so nice to just have sun every day.
Dude, sun, even on the days where it was like a little cloudy.
Yeah.
It's still, you knew the sun was coming. Like in 15 minutes, that cloud's going to disappear. Like one instance where it dumped rain. Like it started raining and I'm like, ah, crap. And then it just started dumping. And I'm like, oh, what do we do? And so I was like, F it. Like, it started slowing down a little bit. I'm like, why don't we just go in the hot tub? Because we have a hot tub outside. I'm like, it's not like it's cold rain.
No.
So we jumped in the hot tub and just chilled. And it was actually pretty cool. Like, you felt like you were, like, in some kind of weird, well, we were in some kind of tropical destination. But
yeah, you were in Hawaii, Steve.
Yeah.
You were literally in the South Pacific.
It was almost like we were in Hawaii, Ted. It was crazy. How was your, obviously you were working, so it's not like a vacation. I assume everyone's on vacation when I'm on vacation. So when I'm stuck in traffic, I'm like, I don't care what, it's traffic. I'm on vacation. And I realize, oh, nobody else is on vacation. People are going home from work.
You almost looked at me and said, how was your vacation?
I was.
Like, well, Steve, I worked. And then I saw you Friday for an interview.
Such a strong narcissistic move on my part. How was your vacation? If I'm having vacation, everyone's having vacation.
That was pretty relaxing, dude. Unlike yours, I didn't do a lot. Just got up and went to work every day.
Weird vacation. You went to work?
Yeah.
No fruity drinks?
No. Not actually, just like you, not a single fruity drink. Had a couple desserts.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
we got a very exciting show today. It's all about Chad Smith, the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We'll be doing that in the next break.
Nice.
Ted and I got to go backstage and hang out and interview Chad before their sold-out show over at the Key Arena. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But before we do anything, well, actually, we've done a little bit, but before we do anything more.
Before we do anything else.
Before we drink our fruity drinks, let's get our heart racing, our blood pumping, and our brain
functioning.
I figured what better song to go with or what better band to go with than the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh,
so
nice.
Let's get our 10 push-ups in so that way we can be focused for today's megacast.
Focus, man.
Get 10. Here we go. One. Two. Three. Four, five, six, seven. You don't know my mind.
You don't know my mind. Sweet ever edit, Steve.
That was like the laziest edit I've ever done. I usually pride myself on like making the edit seem seamless. This morning I was like, F it, it's good enough. See, that was a good edit right there.
Oh, I didn't know you edited there.
All right, yeah, see? My skills are out here. Wait, here we go. I'll be right back.
Oh. Yeah, usually your edits are so smooth, I couldn't notice you were doing those push-ups. I was like, all right, there was an edit.
Honestly, I said, F it. I'll just chant the numbers really loud, and hopefully I time it right that my chant masks that poor edit.
And then I hop up and go, nice edit, Steve.
Thanks, Ted.
Yeah.
Ted Talks, starring B-Tex Smith.
Today, Steve, pure and simple, I have a poem for everybody.
What?
Yup.
I wish we had, like, poem music. Do we have any poem music? I want to hear you, hon. No?
Oh, man. I mean, it's a simple poem. I don't know if it's this dramatic.
Huh.
You ever think of like a flute?
How about this one?
All right.
Okay.
So today, Steve, I come to you with a simple poem.
Hear ye, B. Ted Smith's poem.
wonder where the flowers is. That's it. Happy spring, everybody.
Can you repeat that poem, please?
Yes. For you, my people, a simple poem. Spring has sprung. The grass has riz. I wonder where the flowers is.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I don't know how that motivates anybody.
I don't either.
Do we need to now have a new segment that's Ted's poetry slamboree?
I had an eighth grade teacher, Mr. Gluski, said that poem when I was like 13.
Oh, that's a poem that you actually picked up from someone else?
From a teacher.
I thought you wrote that while you were taking a dump before this podcast.
No, and I like to use it every spring. I didn't have an opportunity, so I was like, I had some notes down there, and I was like, screw that. I'll read a poem today.
I love it, dude. That was awesome. You know what? Let's just take a quick break right now, because I don't think we could do anything that's nearly as awesome as that poem.
Right, recover from the poem, Steve.
You know, I feel like we might have to just do the poem one more time. So, ladies and gentlemen, hear ye, the poetry stylings, the poet laureate, V. Ted Smith.
The grass. God damn it. I turned it up. One more time, Steve.
All right, hold on.
That introduction was so good.
Hear ye, to the right of me, a man by the name of V. Ted Smith, and his poetry.
Spring has sprung. The grass has riz. I wonder where the flowers is.
Mega Cats, we'll be
Ted
back.
And Steve need a break. To get on a higher ground, the Megacast will be back.
Hey, Phil, you've got a package.
Oh, look at this! An entire case of all-natural Viagra.
I didn't know you had a problem.
I don't have a problem. What I have is Spamazon.com.
Spamazon.com?
Yeah! At Spamazon.com, they only sell things found in your spam filter.
Oh, like all-natural Viagra.
Right! Last week, I got a box of diplomas from 2,200 different universities. Next week, it's real Russian girls who want to meet me!
Wow, Spamazon.com, huh?
Yup. Hey, I don't mean to cut this short, but if I don't order now, I'm going to miss out on abandoned airport cargo from a Nigerian diplomat. Don't you miss out on discount pet meds, breast enlargement creams, European sweepstakes entries, and hundreds of other questionable products. Spamazon.com, where it's wham, bam, thank you, spam.
These guys are my friends. I am not your friend. I am a robot. Go bother Alexa or Siri if you need some robot companionship. The Megacast is back.
Yeah, screw you, Ted. Can't edit them all.
I just think I have better lyrics than Kiedis now. You hear my poems.
They might want to hire you as a songwriter. Yeah, we're doing a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers music because we got to talk to Chad Smith of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So before we get into the interview, we'll give you a little bit of a backstory about how it all happened. And I was technically still on vacation. We heard from Castle, and Castle's like, hey, would you guys like to interview Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers at the Key Arena before their show on Friday? I'm like, I get back on Wednesday. So if Ted's in, I'm in.
Yeah.
And Ted's like, yeah, I'm in as well. And so I meet up with Ted here at like, we're supposed to be there by 6:30. So Ted gets off the air at 6. So yeah. I try to get here by 6.
Traffic nightmare.
Dude, it's just Seattle's not getting any better. And I'm not even talking about the freeways. Just the downtown trying to get towards a freeway is a cluster F.
Yeah.
People are just aggressively cutting in front of you. They're just stopping in the middle of the street so that they could turn. It's just a giant mess. So Ted ends up just walking to me because I was nowhere near the station. We nearly run over somebody. Whatever.
Well, that was the other thing, too. So I walked to Steve, and then we're going to cut through, and then, like, it just seemed like every street we turned down was backed up with traffic.
And all we kept joking about is, like, if we hit that person that just, like, jumped in front of us, it was, like, that would have been a weird way to start the interview. Like, hey, Chad, sorry we're late. We killed an individual.
Killed a man.
But we're ready to do the interview. Let's go.
Yeah. Real aggressive.
So we get there. We meet up with, and major shout out to Aaron, who's part of the management company for the Chili Peppers and a bunch of other artists as
good
well.
Good beard. Nice dude.
Great guy. Great stories. Funny dude. So we meet up with him. He brings us into the backstage area, which is such a, it's always surreal. Even though we've been backstage so many times, I think when you're backstage, when it's a band of that magnitude, a band that could sell out the Key Arena, there's just something like, there's like an aura of like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah. And like there's backstage and then there's like, but where he took us to do this interview was like the deep backstage. So even like Pain in the Grass, like we're backstage, but we're generally not like in that part of backstage.
This is the backstage where like, obviously we could get backstage, but then to get to the next part, people would still question us, where's your credentials? Like at this point, we're for us to be where we're at, we needed to be credentialed. But in order to get to that next level, you had to be super credentialed.
Yeah, like to put it in a sports term, basically, like it's one thing to be on the field, but like we were basically in the dugout.
Yes. And it was weird,
the locker
man.
Room,
you're seeing different people walking around. I'm seeing the guitarist, Josh from the Chili Peppers. He's just following us around, not intentionally. You know, maybe he was stalking us, just playing his guitar, just kind of warming up. So then they bring us into this back room. And it's funny because you don't know how an interview is going to go. And we're being told by our buddy, Aaron, that he's like, hey, this is really exciting for us because they don't typically do a lot of interviews.
It's new.
Like forever. Since the Blood Sugar Sex Magic days, they rarely do like any kind of like interviews before a show. They don't like go to the stations. They just don't have the need to because they're on a, and good for them, they're at a level now that they don't have to.
Right.
And I don't blame them.
I don't blame them at all.
So, I mean, and it's a sold out show. You're not trying to sell tickets.
No.
So the fact that that was pretty cool, but that also terrified me because I'm like, great. Like, I don't want to be the reason why they don't want to ever do interviews again.
No, and right. And he was just saying, hey, look, it's cool. We're doing this. We haven't done a ton of them. You know, just play it by ear. So at that point, Steve and I are usually pretty cool, but I'm with you. I was kind of like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Like hey, if they don't.
We don't want to screw this up.
Right. And he's like, you know, at the end of it, if you know, we'll gauge it if he wants to take a picture. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. Like, this is going to be like. Like, what are we walking into? I don't know. And I get it. Like, it's smart for him to set the standard high as far as, like, hey, just, you know, understand, respect their world. And I think that's brilliant on their part because then he comes in and he could not be a nicer guy.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, you'll hear in the interview, like, the only thing I would say bad is we were having so much fun with him, and I think he was having fun with us. Like, finally, Steve was just like, all right, I got to ask something about music.
Right, because I was like, I definitely wanted to get some stuff to Taryn for, like, the rock report. You know, there was a lot of pressure on us outside of our own pressure from the company, from the station, being like, hey, you know, make sure you get good stuff to use on the air, not just for your podcast. So all that's in the back of my head, and I'm like, we're having so much fun, but like everything that we've been talking about up until that moment is completely useless unless you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah, unless you listen to the whole interview, right? Because I mean, like, even I played a clip from it on the Men's Room, and I was like, it's funny, but I think you have to hear the whole thing together.
Right, because so to set it up, and we'll get right to it right now, but to set it up, we're waiting in a room that is their rehearsal room. And I'll try and remember, I put it on my blog a couple days ago if you want to see a picture. I took a picture of like little tiny drum set, little amps, keyboard. Like they have a room, they lug extra gear on tour so that they can have a practice space or a rehearsal space to warm up before their show.
Yeah.
So we're in that room and I was like, this is really cool. Like I wonder if he'll get mad if I went and try to play his drums, but I was like, I'm not gonna do that. So we're sitting there, we're waiting, and then you know what's the weird part? The guy who told us he's gonna go bring him to us.
Yeah.
I can't remember what kind of shirt he was wearing. I think his name was like Sam.
Yeah.
Later on in the night I'm at the show. He's up on stage every once in a while as like a backup guitarist.
No kidding.
I was like, That's awesome.
That is.
Like, they just have a guy that's part of their crew. Like, hey, you know what? We need two guitars on this song, so jump up on stage with us.
Get in it.
Play in front of 18,000 people. No big deal. So Chad walks in, and just there's an aura of just nice, cool,
yeah,
friendly guy. Like, big smile on
his
face.
Very relaxed.
Yeah, like, we questioned, I don't know if he was stoned or not, but he sure as hell, if I was to picture Chad Smith stoned, this is how I would picture him.
Yeah, exactly.
So he walks in. Now, and if you've seen the picture of the three of us, you'll see us all holding a microphone.
Yeah.
That's intentional because that dominates a good chunk of the beginning of the interview.
Yeah, we trade microphones. Well, that's why mine's kind of held like sad.
Yeah, because I have a couple of like really old 70s style microphones, but they're just workhorses. Like, our old engineer gave them to me. He's like, hey, man, when you travel to do interviews and stuff, use these because they take a beating and they're never going to break.
Mm-hmm.
So I have them. I brought them. I'm like, perfect. But the minute he walks in, he's like fixated on these microphones. Like, what's up with those microphones? They remind me of like when I was younger. And then he noticed, though, I had the two microphones, the old school microphones for Ted and I. And I thought the nice gesture would be to give him the nice Shure SM58 for you geeky people. But this is a standard microphone, like the microphone that most people use.
Yeah.
And I had that one for him because I was like, okay, we'll give him the good microphone. And as you'll hear, he's like, can I use that microphone? So he grabs Ted's microphone and uses that for the interview. And then it just kind of devolves after
that. Yeah, that kind of sets the table for the interview.
So without further ado, here's our chat with Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili. Chili. From the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Can I have that one?
Yeah. What?
I steal these from the, I don't know if it's my high school. Yeah, it must have been my high school. You know, like the AV guys back in the day would
run the projector and stuff?
Run the projector. Oh, yeah. And they would bring the thing in the classroom on the wheels, you know, and they would have these kind of mics. And I was an aspiring, you know, want to be a musician, and I was like, that's a cool looking mic, man.
Well, full disclosure, I stole that from our radio station, so I've had it for like 10 years now.
And they're kind of, you know.
So you can have that after we're done. That's
it's gone, you know. But, you know, it's like, you know, Tom Jones.
Not unusual. You would see this.
You know, I watch a lot of old school wrestling promos from like the 70s, like the old school, like luchador promos from like Mexico. And I'm watching it. I'm like, they're using the same microphone, that exact microphone.
Mike.
It's the gold standard.
That's it, man.
Good mic, Steve.
58 is like, that's so modern.
That's sweet sauce. Yeah.
You're on
the, hey, look, I'm a team player.
You're on the cutting edge, man.
You're like on MySpace. I'm over here on Instagram.
All right. Facegram, whatever that is.
One of those things, right?
What is that?
Well, thank you for taking a few minutes to chat with us. It's really cool to...
No problem, man!
If only people can see, he's got the full rock star pose going.
I'm just loving this mic.
There's freedom with that mic.
It's thin.
Yes.
And mobile. Is it you know, I don't get the technical. Is it what's it did, like omnidirectional? And then
was it unidirectional? Is it
uni?
Yeah, I think
unidirectional, yeah. Omnidirectional. We're not getting too technical. Anyway,
I have no clue though.
This looks like a microphone right from like the Merv Griffin show or something.
It's got the dents in it too and everything.
We were just talking before, and it's maybe the mic that I stole from my ninth grade AV class. I wasn't in the AV class. I stole when they would reel it in and, like, you know, show sex ed movies. I would watch the movies and steal the microphones.
Talking to the little mic.
Just one.
Just the one little mic.
Just one.
Yeah.
Just one. I didn't take them all.
That's fair.
Yeah. There was a huge budget for this stuff.
They're workhorses. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could hurt somebody with this.
We could throw them again. No, Ted. Ted's afraid to hurt his new mic.
Yeah.
Your windscreen already had dents, Ted.
Yeah, I know. I'm not helping this out.
You look like you could be like a wrestling, like, you know, guy, like, you know.
Cut a promo for us, Ted.
You could do some wrestling promo.
Big and busty, loud and lusty. Teddy, together, Steve and I are actually the Disciples of Fun.
Yeah,
you?
We're working on a wrestling gimmick, and
that's it. The Disciples of Fun.
Yes,
Disciples of Fun.
It's not really very intimidating.
No.
Well,
all right.
Any word funny with fun in it.
We're here to have fun.
You're gonna have fun tonight, brother. You better.
What you gonna do?
$500 shorts. My watch costs more than your car. Woo! Is that Ric Flair?
Yep. Yeah.
Styling and profiling.
He's still doing it.
I went to a WWE not too long ago. I think it was in Omaha or Tulsa we were playing. And the next night, they were doing their thing. I think it was Tulsa. And I'm friends with Chris Jericho.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
And he's traveling with them. And, oh, man, we're playing in the same arena. Oh, no way. So I went down there. And it used to just be Ric Flair's daughter.
Charlotte is
like now in the, you know,
she's the top female wrestler. Yeah, I mean, they're talking like she's, I'm a wrestling geek, but they're talking like she's the greatest female wrestler of all time, just really? In the short period of time that she's wrestled.
Well, what I did notice about the way it was like a three-person tag team women wrestling, and it was much different than back in the day. It used to be kind of bikinis and, you know, and now it's they're actually very athletic and doing you know, really cool stuff, and I was quite impressed with that. But it was great because Chris had me right on the front, you know, and I'm sitting there, and, you know, and he's doing his thing, falling out of the ring, and he's like, doing my thing, and I'm kind of like punching him. But you're not supposed to do that. The crowd's not supposed to really get involved with the wrestling.
You know him.
I know, but the referee didn't know that I knew him.
Oh.
So he was kind of looking at me, and Chris was kind of said I was waving at him like, it's all right.
It's good. It's good.
It's okay. It's okay. I gave him a couple shots, you know. And he was like, no. I hate the getaway. I'm in the sexy Hall of Fame. I'm like, you're a fucking loser. We were getting it. It was great. And like his partner was kind of looking at him like, why are you going off on this guy so much? Take it easy, man.
And what's the getaway? Is that some kind of like,
exactly.
Is that a timeshare thing that he sold you or what?
Exactly. So we had some fun with it. But it was so great. I don't want to burst anybody's rest. I don't know how we turned into the wrestling interview. But when you go backstage, you know, I mean, they're all out there like killing each other.
Yep.
And it's really entertainment and you know, we all know it's entertainment, but they go backstage and they're all super polite. One guy is like, they're big, huge dudes.
Massive.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Chris, not so much. Smaller man. But they're like, oh, I'm really sorry about the arm lock thing. I didn't do that quite right. And he's like, oh, it's okay, man. Don't worry about it. It was good. You know, they're really concerned about the choreography and, you know, they're pro. They're pros. Totally pro. It was just so funny. Like, it was all, you know. And then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I missed that arm lock on the second flip. I should have. We were supposed to. Yeah, no.
It's funny here. Some of the wrestlers, like, their main source of pride is that they don't hurt the guy that they're pretending, you know, I mean, in the eyes of the. Right, yeah.
Don't, like, in a way that.
Do not injure him in, like, some serious level.
Yeah, try not to.
Yeah, which is, like, I think, is one of the more.
And if you, you know, throw them out of the ring, if they land on the table, they got it. And it's up to the other guy, too, but. Of course, if you get thrown, you're going to get thrown. I don't know how you land.
Right, it's a matter of inches. I mean, from how you land.
I mean, these guys are like, you're going out of the ring, you're hitting the ground, and like, I'm right there. Man. That looked like that hurt.
Oh, yeah.
I'm far from me to you, and he's got big red welts on his back.
Yeah, they're hitting each other.
Yeah. So that part of it's real.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I just love that he's just like, he's chirping you while he's wrestling about the album, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, he's just like, there was some strong language between me and the wrestler, and he was funny, he turned around to me.
I hate the getaway!
Which I disagree with him, because I just got back from Hawaii. My wife and I went on vacation to Kauai, and so, you know, we're sitting just beachside. Right? And, man, that record is just such a perfect album just to sit and soak the sun in and just enjoy. I just love the vibe of what you, especially you and Flea, man. I'm a drummer as well.
Oh, cool.
And so I
knew you were smart, not only handsome. You can't.
That's right.
He doesn't have a face for radio, more like you.
More
like
I know. Yeah. I'm the wrestler. I'm the wrestler.
You're the wrestler.
I'm the baby face of this team.
Yeah. You're the heel.
He gets the belt. I take the punches.
Yep.
I
come in for the hot tag.
That's all part of the chemistry, though. That's why it works with you guys.
That's why we're the disciples of fun.
The disciples of you.
You're going to have some fun.
Disciples of funk.
Oh.
You put the K in fun.
That's really good.
Ted's got the beard. He's got a really cool beard.
Yep.
He looks like, if you were not smiling like you seem to have been all the time, you could like.
You can't look mean.
Yeah, you could look mean.
Yeah,
you have to
be
try.
Really pissed off to look.
You
got to
be really pissed off because you got to wear a nice kind of Santa Claus kind of face.
What do we need to do to piss you off right now?
Yeah, how can we make you mad? What do you want me to do? Steal your mic?
All right, sweet. You already
did steal his mic.
You could have Steve. Years ago, I had a boxing match. You could have Steve. That was one of the hardest things. My coach was like, "We got to get you mad. Like, go to that dark place.
Yeah,
find
to,
it.
To
yeah.
Go for it. Right. How would you get up? You know, get inspired or motivated to like take somebody out and be? Did you have to be mad at him?
Yeah.
Or, like.
I personally got, like, yeah, say, I had like, to get worked
know,
up.
Oh, your mom, like, you know, me and her last night or something. How would that work?
See, I would just kind of go through stuff that used to go on in my life. Okay. And then my coach would just sit there and be like, man, you're a fat bastard. And just start going through insults. And that's how we get fired up. But enough about me. We got to talk to you.
And the interview is over. Thanks, Ted.
Be a fat bastard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, hey, you gotta get the job done.
No. This could be a silly question because I'm also besides
to go back to your thing. I liked your comments about the it being a sort of a nice like island.
It was, man. It just island fit the vibe of it right? all. Yeah, just even driving along the coast, I was just like, even my wife's like, this just feels right. Like, this is the perfect record. And I mean, I would imagine for you guys, I mean, working with a different producer like Danger Mouse, that I love the production of the drums. I always focus on drum stuff, and it just sounds so crisp. And I just really dig the vibe of how it sounds. And cool. Was it a fun experience doing a record with someone other than Rick Rubin?
It was. You know, it was obviously different because we haven't worked with anybody since 1990. And Rick's been our guy from then on, so it was a big change for us, of course. But Brian's really, you know, he really challenged us to new ways to write music and record music, and he's a real studio rat. Like, he's in there all the time, and from the first one to come and the last one to go, and him and I actually worked just playing drum beats. Like, he would like say just play some beats, kind of. It comes from a sort of a hip hop background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So where you build the tracks and the drums were first, and hip hop a loop. But it's like, just go out there and just play some grooves, you know, like, by myself. Okay, this is kind of weird, but yeah, you know. So that sort of thing, and but he was really, you know, very involved in all the aspects of the ideas of you know, how the parts would come together rhythmically, melodically, musically, vocally, lyrically, everything. He was really involved. So, not to say that Rick wasn't, but, you know, we've done the rock band in the room thing, and that's great, and you know, Rick is a fantastic producer, of course, but we felt, you know, we didn't want to do that again. We would try something a little bit more modern and you know, slightly more modern, and Brian has that, and it was great. We had a great experience. Yeah, really fun. I just used his drums. It's not talk to a drummer. Tune out now.
Yeah, I know.
You can go back to the dark place.
Yeah. We'll be in this happy place of tuning drums. Yeah. Which actually is not a happy. I hate tuning drums.
1968 Ludwig kit with a 12-inch floor tom. No, I don't know. But
mine's 18 inches, man.
Yeah, I use the black dots and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm not a technical guy, but I just use his stuff. And right. I really surrendered. Like, usually I wanted, you know, you want that sort of big modern rock drum sound or whatever. And, you know, I got sort of a higher snare thing. And he was like, hey, let's put some pads on it and some tape and kind of old school, like
that's awesome.
Studio stuff. And I was like, I was like, all right. And I had to like surrender. Okay. Like, no, it's not what I would do, but yeah, okay. but he would manipulate it. It was his studio that he'd worked in quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it was all his stuff. And it was interesting because then I would go into the control room. And he had all these different mics here and there and out in the room and under, you know, the thing and all. And there were so many different options of what, sonically, what he could do and how he could treat the drum, so to speak. So I was like, oh, wow, if I play quieter, you know, I can actually get more out of the drums. Usually, I mean, banging away.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it challenged me to, like, you know, like Dark Necessity sounds pretty big, but I'm not pounding away on the.
Because when you listen, it sounds like I'm in the room with you, just getting overwhelmed by, in a good way, obviously.
Yeah. No, so it was that was different. It was really good for us to have that, you know, new thing. Got to keep changing it up.
Well, that's awesome. And The Getaway is a great record. I know we got to wrap things up. I have one stupid question to ask.
More about wrestling.
Actually, I want to ask something about hockey and drums because I also play hockey. I play goalie. What is it about drummers that are also goalies?
Let me leave.
We're going to make out of here, man.
Romance. Romance. Disciples of Fun is now a faction.
Disciples of Funk. You're out.
Yep.
That's this isn't right. fun anymore.
That's right, because it's the funk.
This is the funk. It used to be the Disciples of Fun. Now.
What is it about goalies that also play? Every goalie I know that plays music also plays drums.
Let me ask you this. You played baseball?
Catcher. Right. Drops the mic. That's what I'm saying.
The stuff.
Do we just like the pressure, you think?
I think partly it's the stuff, the gear.
We like to fill up our car with stuff.
And of course, a goalie, but you know, goalie's a little. But I think.
I play keeper in indoor soccer.
Keeper? What's a keeper?
A goalkeeper. You guys are goaltenders.
We're goaltenders.
Tend the goal. We don't keep anything.
Keep stuff out.
Nice try.
Ted, dark place. Come back to us when you're there.
I'm going dark now.
Keeper, huh? Mm. I think it was partly. That you're in the catcher's kind of in control of the field and the team and you know calling the signs and everything. Goaltender, you're the last. You know, you're the kind of the
last line of defense.
You know, you're in the drummers in the back there, kind of the heart and driving and you know in our band, I'm calling all the shots. You know.
Yeah. So, the pace setter.
Yeah, no, but seriously, though, I think there is some weird connection. You're not the first one.
No, I know. Everyone I know. Yeah, it's a weird dynamic.
Yeah, with the sports thing. I don't know.
And we have the best view in every position, whether it be hockey, drums, or baseball.
I think you can sort of, you know, see everything that's going on, and there can be some, you know, ways for you to control things
From behind the kid, maybe this is a question that's you can't think of. Maybe first thing off the top of your head, the craziest thing you've seen while you're behind the kit, whether it be on stage or in the crowd.
Early on, we did a festival in Holland outside of Amsterdam, the Pink Pop Festival in 1990, and I saw two, and the Dutch people are big people. Vikings, like they're big.
Norse.
They have big heads. They look like light bulbs. Maybe they were in a womb for like an extra month or something. They got big heads. They have extra big heads. Sorry, Dutch people, but it's just my little thing. And so the big heads and the big people, and I joined the band and we were playing. And I'm like, wow, Dutch band, they're going for it. But halfway through the set, I saw two guys hitting each other with prosthetic legs. They were fighting. Both. One had a tennis shoe, and the other one didn't. Well, and the one, I remember it well, one was kind of an off-white, and one was like a more of a flesh color, and they were just, bah! They were beating them out of each other. And I thought that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was your everyday sort of, you don't see Dutch people hitting each other with fake legs.
No. Finnish people, sure. Not the Dutch.
Finns, Norway.
Yeah.
You see that in Helsinki, but how are they standing? They took the leg off and
balance. It's all in the core.
Crazy.
Dutch people have great core strength.
They got good cores.
Well, this has been an awesome time, man. Chad Smith, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'm sorry, you guys.
No,
also this Smith, is by the way.
Huh? Yeah, Ted Smith.
Yeah, Ted Smith.
I thought your real name. Are you a Beck robber?
Oh, my real name's Edward, but I'm a Smith.
We're from the same tribe somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I met the Hawaiian Smith family. With Uncle Willie, who played with Elvis. They have a boat that they take you on this river, the Wailea River. And it's the whole family, and they just perform with ukuleles while you're on this river. And it was the Smith family, which I thought was just... And the whole backstory is the older guy in the family, Uncle Willie, was in Blue Hawaii.
They're different than Smiths like us.
No, I think you guys are all related, Smiths. Probably.
I haven't seen him in a while.
No, it's been a while.
Yeah.
How's he doing? Well, I don't ask you. How are they doing? Well,
they're doing good.
How are our ancestors?
They're all good.
They're all good?
They're good. They're happy. They're tan. Yeah.
Good.
They took us to the grotto. We got remarried. It was awesome.
Fantastic.
They sang a song. Good times. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, man.
Nice to see you. Awesome. Thanks for the mic.
Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy it.
These guys can't stop. Okay. They are stopping. But not for long. The Megacast will be back.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop chop, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation. Your image in the dictionary. This life is more than ordinary. Can I get two, maybe even three of these? Coming from a space to teach you of the Pleiades. Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read through.
The news networks have gotten into the habit of hysterically hyping news events and then disappointing you when those events turn out to be not such a big deal. For instance, the Northeast epic winter storm Stella.
It's really starting to accumulate.
Not such a big deal. And the release of Donald Trump's old tax returns. Not such a big deal. Why not use the same principles weathercasters and faux journalists have used for years to spark interest in your otherwise mundane life, then sadly disappoint?
I just want you to know, I'm real good in bed. So, what'd you think?
The News X System, the perfect way to create tremendous interest, then disappoint.
What did you think about my cheesecake? The best ever, right?
It's okay.
Order now and download our breaking news sound effect to really make a point.
So Daddy's pancakes are pretty awesome, huh?
Eh, not so much.
Trust us, News X is the best thing you've ever ordered in your life.
Well, I'm sailing, yeah.
I wish Ted and Steve would suck my kiss. The Megacast is back.
Kiss me, you can't hurt me. Suck my kiss. Kiss me, people love me. Stick with me. Is she talking dirty? Get to me, sweet sandwich. Miss that was made to suck my kiss.
All right. Well, thank you again to Chad Smith. I love that song.
I always thought that lyric is just so aggressive.
Suck my kiss.
Yeah.
Have you ever said that to a chick? Hey.
No.
No, me neither. That would be awkward.
Suck my kiss.
Hey, bitch.
Right?
Suck my kiss.
You're going to love this.
You're going to love sucking my kiss.
Ugh, suck my kiss.
It's fun. Now, makes me think of this. We'll get to it in a second. I thought this was funny when we talk about awkward with suck my kiss. Did you see this story that they did BuzzFeed asked people to find if these 10 things are sexy or awkward.
Oh, and yeah.
I was curious what you think. Sucking kiss would be awkward if you said, hey, suck my kiss.
Yeah. I mean, she'd have to be a very hot chick.
Yeah.
Or am I saying it?
Either. Yeah, if a hot chick says it's never awkward, it's always sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're dudes.
Yeah, right.
Eye contact during sex.
Oh, I'm into it.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the person. So, like, if it's somebody I love, or, like, it's, like, could be a relationship, I should say love, or you really like them, then I like to keep eye contact. It was Friday night, I was having some fun, you know, keep eye contact.
It depends on the position, too.
Well, 100%.
Well, of course, doggy style, that could give a kick in the neck.
Like, what, she's staring around the whole time?
I'm talking about in opportunities where you could be, I think missionary might be slightly awkward, I don't know why, but, like, cowgirl is not awkward at all. I think it's fun to look up. But for some reason, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I have such low self-esteem. I just, like, I don't want her to, like, I don't want to look at her because maybe it's, like, just looks like I'm, like, this primal ape.
Oh, see, on the other side, I think missionary makes more sense. And then, like, right, if she's on top, I'd prefer to say, you know, usually what I see is her eyes rolling back in her head with pleasure.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, I mean, oh,
she's having trouble focusing on anything.
Her mouth wide open, screaming, oh, God, Ted, you animal.
Right? Read me another poem.
And the grizz, the grass, summer is what? Loud moaning. I am not opposed to that. There's nothing.
No, I'm 100% in.
I almost think me making loud groaning sounds is awkward, though.
Yeah, and every partner's different, but there's a comfortable balance. But yeah, you got to have, I like some sound.
67% say it's sexy, 33% say it's awkward, and on eye contact, 75% say it's sexy.
All right.
Winking.
Winking during sex?
No, just say, is it sexy or not? You don't have to have sex while you're winking. That would be weird.
You enjoying this?
There's something in your eye. Your contact popping out.
I don't know. Winking, like, I like to, I don't, I shouldn't say I like to wink at people. It's cool as I can wink, but it's always been kind of creepy, right?
I don't think there's anything sexy about winking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only time I feel like I usually use a wink is if me and you are having fun at somebody else's expense, I might be like, yeah, man, you should totally go do that.
Yeah.
You know, like a wink to like the guy that's in on the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this, though? 61% people say it's sexy. I don't even think when a chick winks, it's sexy.
No. That's because 61% of people are salespeople. They probably think double guns are sexy, too.
And here's the crazy part. I would think spanking is sexier than winking. And
100%.
55% of people say that's sexy and 45% awkward. Spanking is awesome.
Yeah. There's certain, yeah. I mean, not everybody's into it, but people that are, it's fun.
Dirty talk. Split down the middle, 50-50.
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
Yes. Well, yeah. We've shared those stories before of me and my days of being a fan of just doing phone sex.
Yeah.
And then we ran into that one girl who, remember at the Monday Night Raw, was it? Or one of the wrestling events in Everett.
Yeah.
And she just walked by without even missing a beat, just whispered in my ear, I used to have phone sex with you, and then just kept going. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks.
Thought I recognized your creepy whisper.
How does someone, okay, this BuzzFeed, the people who take part in your surveys are idiots. A lap dance.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not find that not sexy?
Like, I can understand women not thinking it's sexy if a dude gives them a lap dance. Like,
yeah.
But 46% of people say it's sexy and the rest say it's not.
I mean, I guess, right, they have to be thinking for both sexes, right?
Yeah, I guess, I wish we would know how many are women and how many are men. I feel like they should have done one for women, one for men.
Yeah.
Because role-playing, phone sex, and webcam sex all are on the other side, more awkward than sexy. And sexting, too. And I'm thinking all of those are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, role-playing, I'm not a big role-playing guy, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. I would find it sexy if my wife was like, hey, tonight you're an astronaut and I'm Mars. Time to explore.
Hmm. For some reason, I picture you two. She's little Bo Peep and you're the bad
big
wolf.
Big bad wolf. Rawr. I appreciate that. I'm going to blow her house down. Wait, that's with the pigs.
Yeah.
Damn it. Wrong.
Say, still a wolf, though.
Is it the same wolf?
The big bad wolf? Is he the same wolf for Little Bo Peep and the three little pigs?
I don't know. I've never thought about this.
Wow. You just blew my mind, dude.
Could he be in two different stories?
Or is it, Steve, that the big bad wolf is a metaphor for something else? Thus, he's always evil. We thought about that? How deep are we going on this?
We're going pretty deep. Right. Which, for those wondering, is 46% sexy. And no, I'm kidding. Deep is not on this list. Webcam sex. I don't know if I've ever done. No, I haven't.
I haven't. But if somebody was across the country and they were like, hey, I'm going to get on the webcam. You get on your webcam. I'd be down.
I would be down, but I would not want it so that, you know, like, I don't know how it is on webcams. I've never really used a webcam to come to think of it. But like on FaceTime or Skype, you know how you have, you can see you and them?
Yeah.
I would want it so I can't see me. I'd have to set my settings. Because the last thing I want to see is, while I'm looking at her, a little thumbnail screen of me being like,
going at
the big bad wolf over here. Yeah.
So you never masturbate in the mirror?
Oh, no, I do that all the time. I mean, what better way to do it? The only person that could turn me on is me.
Right?
Yeah.
Look good today.
Look at this. Look at that stomach. That one pack is in fine form.
Soak it in.
Man. Freaking Jericho, Chris Jericho. Did you see Monday Night Raw this week?
Mm-mm.
Bro, if you have a chance, watch the highlight reel. He was on fire.
Like, I saw last night he was like on vacation down in Telluride.
Oh,
you know what? Let me take that back. It was an Instagram picture. Maybe he had been. It seemed like it was current vacation.
Well, I mean, Monday Night Raw was on Monday, so he could be something for a few days until WrestleMania.
All right.
For all we know. But it was just he was just great on the microphone.
Yeah.
Making fun of Kevin Owens, setting up WrestleMania, showed pictures of Kevin Owens when he was a kid wearing a Y2J shirt, doing the Y2J pose. It was like, as a poet like you are, it was poetic.
Thank you. Is that like Kevin Owens, like, he must help him and be like, here's the pictures?
Oh, I bet.
Right?
Because then, and I do think that these were legit. I mean, even if they weren't, it's still great for the story. He then put up on the big screen captures of a DM conversation between him and Kevin Owens from like 4 years ago when Kevin first joined the WWE on Twitter. And you could see Kevin writes, hey, man, can I get any advice? And Chris writes, hey, on what? And then Kevin's like, hey, man, I'm just new. I don't want to piss anybody off. I want to make a good, I want to, you know, not make the fans mad, the other guys. Do you have any advice for me on how I could be a better performer? And then Jericho wrote, hey, just be you. You're here for a reason. And he put that up there to be like,
you came to me for advice.
Right. Like you love me. You're That's I'm awesome. Your biggest, you're my biggest fan. And it was great. So he's doing all this, and spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it and you do, maybe just skip ahead 15 seconds. Then after a while, he gets distracted by Samoa Joe. Kevin Owens sneaks in, beats the crap out of Chris Jericho, which was great. Jericho's down on the ground, and Owens does the Chris Jericho pose that he did when he was a kid over him.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, I got goosebumps. I'm such a wrestling nerd.
Jericho's got to lose that, right?
Yeah, because yeah. Jericho's going to be doing some stuff with Fozzy.
Yeah.
So that sounds. I always get mad at other people when they talk like outside of the stories, but it is the truth. I mean, he's going to go on tour, so why does he need to win?
Yeah, and at this point, Jericho's such a big star. Like, I don't know that he needs a belt.
Oh no.
Or anything to really like. He can get fire people up every time. I mean, look, I don't know much about the band Fozzy, but when we went to see him, like, he is just so charismatic on that microphone. You're just like, God damn, I want to see this band all the time.
Well, I can't tell you exactly when, but there is going to be an opportunity in the near future for us to see them.
Dope.
Yep, just a little foreshadowing.
All right.
Summer. Mm. Summer of Fozzy.
Summer's back.
I did want to share a story that I thought was hilarious that happened while we were at the Chili Peppers backstage.
All right.
We finished the interview. We're riding high, feeling good. We're walking like we're the kings. You know, we did this.
We just dominated it. Chad's happy,
the label happy, everybody's happy. We're walking out, we're heading now out of the venue to go grab some dinner. And at that moment, a dude's walking in and I stop and start talking with him. And it was like one of those moments in my life that I'm glad Ted was there because I don't want to risk sound like I'm embellishing because I wasn't. What happened was exactly what I'm about to say. And it was unbelievable. Who stops me is Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam. So we're walking out. I see him as we're walking out, he's walking in, and I'm like, man, I've met him a bunch of times, but I just assume nobody knows who I am. You know what I mean? Like a guy on that level. I mean, McCready now I feel like we'll see. I know for a fact when I see him, he knows who I am. He comes over and gives me a big hug, and that's surreal. As a Pearl Jam fan since day one, member of their fan club, seen him so many times, obsessed with the band. Even as a 42-year-old, I still go back to being 18-year-old Steve, loving that band, and I cannot believe that now I'm in a position where some of them recognize me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way with like Sean Kenny.
Absolutely.
From Alice in Chains. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like, I'm at the point now where I would say we're actually friends, but it's always kind of surreal. Like, oh yeah, like I'm buddies with that guy.
Right, and he's in one of your all-time favorite bands.
Right, but I got to say, the story Steve's telling, and I told a little bit of this on the podcast too, is we're walking out, right? So there's like cooking back there, and there's tour cases all over. So it kind of almost, as John Taffer would say, like a butt funnel. So it gets to like
a
small area. So Steve behind me just goes, oh, hey, there's Jeff. Now, I don't recognize him at all. I have no idea.
Right.
He's
wearing a ball cap too.
Yeah, and right, and he's just got his...
He doesn't have his bass on.
Right. He just has his backstage pass hanging. Like, everybody wears them basically the same way.
Yeah.
So in my head, you know, it's like, hey, we just did an interview. This must be somebody that... Look, I thought it was somebody that knew us.
Right.
So I almost stopped this guy to say something, but I think better of it, and then Steve talks to him.
Because his eyes lit up when he made eye contact.
Like, you were like, there's Jeff, and he's got like a big smile. So I'm like, oh, this guy must be a Megacats fan.
And I did the stereotypical out of a movie, like when a hot chick's looking at a dude and he's like, you're not looking at me. And he turns around to be like, she must be looking at the guy behind me. I turned around thinking, oh, there's somebody behind me that Jeff is excited to see.
Right. So then I woke up with Aaron.
Like, I almost blew him off after he lit up his eyes because I'm like, oh, he's definitely not thinking about me. And now I don't want to be the guy interrupting whatever moment he's having with the guy behind me who's not even behind me.
No, he was looking at you. He was blowing by me, Steve. So then Aaron, I stop Aaron. I go, hang on. Steve's got fans everywhere. He's talking to somebody, right? Like busting your chops for like stopping to talk to this dude. And then Steve comes over and goes, hey, do you know who that was? I go, no, you say who it was. I was like, I'm an idiot.
It was great.
It was awesome.
Dude, of course we want to play it cool in life, but I'm not going to lie. It's an awesome moment for me. Like I was like, whoa. So, you know, real quick, small talk, but he's like, hey, have you seen Jack? And now I'm like, who the hell's Jack? But I don't want to play it off like I'm a Like, I don't know, because he now thinks I'm in his circle of friends. So I'm
exactly, because we're back there where nobody, like, if you're not in a band or family, you shouldn't be back where we are.
Right, so I'm like, I haven't seen him, but we just saw Chad. He goes, oh, cool, was it back that way? I'm like, yeah, back that way. Then it dawned on me, oh, he's looking for Jack Irons, who's opening up the show, who was in the Chili Peppers as their drummer, and then also was in Pearl Jam for a couple of albums, who introduced Eddie Vedder to the band.
Right.
I wish I would have met Jack Irons. He's one of my, I'm one of my favorite drummers. I was kind of bummed. I almost wanted to be like, no, but I'll come with you. Let's go say hi.
Let's go find him.
Yeah, I'll help you find him. What does he look like? So that was really surreal and really cool. Like, that was one of those moments I was kind of riding pretty high for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
After seeing, you know, it's like, gosh, man, you know, dude's been in two of the most important bands of my entire life, Mother Love Bone and Pearl Jam, and he's looking at me like a peer is very humbling.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, we got to roll on out of here, man.
All right.
Didn't you have a chance? Tony V's was good. I know you
Tony
went up
V's
to Everett.
Tony V's was awesome. Went up to see Stax Brothers, A-Ron Jones.
Oh, I love the Stax Brothers.
Stax Brothers are great, man. Davin's a super cool dude.
That guy's got pipes.
Oh, yeah. And, man, I just want to say, I know I talked about it on the podcast, but Tony V's always been a super nice dude. Place looks awesome. So if you're in the North End, man, please get in there and help support him.
Well, dude, one of these times we should plan. I know we got our party in Tukwila, but and it's always harder to go north.
Yeah.
But we got to go north. And maybe we do something at Tony V's. Maybe there's a cool show coming up in the near future in the next few months, and we can make something happen and get to meet some of the North End mega family.
Yeah, the funny thing, too, I was talking to a couple of his bouncers, their door guys. They were having, I think Mickey Avalon's in, like tomorrow. Right, and they were like...
Can't finish that word.
Right, they were like, that guy's so nice. And I'm like, really? And they're like, oh, he couldn't be nicer to the staff, this
really?
And that. Really? Yeah, and it kind of blew me away. I was like, I did not expect to hear that. And they're like, oh, he's great. There's like tons of chicks. It's awesome. And I was like, all right.
I wish I didn't have stuff going on. I'd like to go see Mickey Avalon.
Yeah, if nothing else, trust me, we'll get up there soon.
Okay.
Because I got some friends up north that we should go hang out with.
All right. So we'll make that happen in the very near future. But for everybody listening, don't forget, join us. Oh, you okay there, Ted?
Excuse me. It's a little burp.
Is that your little poet trying to get out of you?
It is.
All right.
It's a ghost of a poet.
We'll see you on Saturday at Virtual Sports at 3 p.m., Saturday the 25th. Hopefully we'll see you there. And come hang out, have some beers, play some video games and laser tag and dodgeball, and it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, no mega hugs post-
Laser tag.
If we play laser tag.
Right.
Because I will be sweating.
And if you plan on playing laser tag, bring a shirt change.
Yeah. I'm not positive I'm going to play, but...
I might bring a tank top. Go hardcore. Let those pits free.
Yeah, man.
All right, everybody, let your pits free.
Hashtag let your pits free.
Hashtag let your...
Hashtag log out. Hashtag let your pits free.
Hashtag bad edit, Steve. All right, let's do this, and hopefully I'll say it loud enough so Ted doesn't notice the edit. Get 10, Mega Family. Thank you, as always, for listening. Find us on Twitter at the Mega Cast.
Oh, smooth.
Yeah. One. All right, Ted. I hope you have another poem for us next week.
I will.
Awesome. What are we doing?
I have no idea.
I blame Chad Smith.
He made this whole cast weird.
You got a contact high.